Good morning. Oh, that was good. You were primed before I came up here. Somebody was saying that there was an exuberant good morning, and then we had to do it again. You'll be glad you came today. Seriously, sometimes you go, what did we come for? You'll be glad you came today. So part of what we do is listen to other people's life story, their testimony. Jesus says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. It goes two different directions, but for right now, we have somebody who's got a testimony of what Jesus has done. Hold your clapping and your yays. If she's speaking, this is Shelly's going to come up and speak, and if something hits you, go, yay, God, that's perfectly acceptable in this house. Shelly, come on up. Shelly has had an experience of God, and it's really fresh in that Shelly, is it a year now? She says no. The woman has corrected the man. This is Shelly. Give her a warm welcome, and she's going to tell her story. As long as it takes.
Okay, that's good. Okay, my name is Shelly. Thank you, Lyle. Lyle's been actually a really great mentor to me, so I just want to acknowledge him. I was going to write something out today, but I thought I'm just going to let God speak through me and just do it that way. So I feel that God wants me to start why I started coming to church many years ago. There might be some tears, so I'm not going to apologize for them because that's who I am. I started coming to church a few years ago. God led me to come because I felt a real brokenness in my heart that I couldn't put my finger on. And I was also doing healing work of the world. So I was trying to combine healing work out in the world and also coming to church. So I would come and I would come and go. I wasn't really regular. And then one day I came to church. God led me to come to church. Jesse said, we're going to do baptisms on next Sunday. And I started bawling. I did not know what baptism meant, what was going to happen to me. I just knew I had to go. And I told my family, and they were kind of worried about me because I grew up with Dukhobor culture. We are Christian Orthodox, so I was always close to God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, but we were connected in a different way. And there was a piece missing. And so I prepared for baptism. My family came. My dad was a part of my baptism. He came in the water with me, and that was like the most beautiful thing. And that day something happened to me, and I didn't know how to explain it. I had nobody to go to. I was kind of walking in the wilderness for a long time after that baptism. Then God started speaking to me. I still was doing healing work, so part of my who I was back then was I was a Reiki master. I did Akashic Records. I taught people meditation. I did feminine work. I did all these things that were considered practices of New Age. And I was really good at it, and I made lots of good money, but I was always looking for why were people not fully healing. I loved and I knew that Jesus put his hands on people and he healed them right away, and that always spoke to me. I always had that in the back of my mind. Thank you, Dustin. And so I was always working and striving and up-leveling, and that's the thing that happens in the New Age, is you're always working and up-leveling, and you're trying to heal your soul, and you're striving, and it's a big hamster wheel that continues all the time, and it never ends. There is no peace, and there is no joy. And then on the last part of my journey, I entered into a healer apprentice program. And in the program, my mentor said, read this book, Shelley, you're going to need it. And it was called Deliverance from Evil Spirits. And I bought it, I read it, and because we had learned about entities and attachments and how they come into us and how they affect our walk. And so I started doing that with clients. Clients started reaching out to me because I was doing the really dark work for them. And I was actually doing good work. I always invited God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit to come into my sessions, but I was always inviting other spirit guides. I was always inviting the ancestors to come in. So what I was doing is I was mixing a little bit of the dark and a little bit of God. And I read the book, and what fascinated me is the book is actually written by a pastor. And in his testimony, him and his wife went to a mental hospital and they prayed for the patients in the hospital. And 90% of the patients walked out of that hospital. And when I found that out, I was like, wow, that was so amazing. Like, that's so powerful. Like, what do they have? What's going on? And so I thought, I want to explore what this deliverance is, because I want to know what this is, because maybe I need that, and maybe my clients need that, and maybe this is the missing piece for me. So a really good dear friend, Diana, her and I talked, and I said, I want to try what that is. Can you, like, where do I get this deliverance thing? And she says, well, we're pretty booked on Thursdays, so you'll have to wait until it's your turn. And I said, okay. So in the meantime, I did experience one. I witnessed one. I saw someone that I love be set free. And I was like, wow, my healer brain started thinking, well, that was amazing. Okay. So then I waited for my turn. It was a few weeks after. It was my turn. And I didn't know what to expect. And so there was this beautiful group of people that prayed for me, blessed me, and lifted off some spirits, unclean spirits, that were within me in my life. And what I went to work on was when my daughter was born. I couldn't bond with her. I couldn't bond with her. There was something that was in the way of our bond. And I felt it right from the moment she was born. And being a healer, I spent 18 years trying to heal this disconnect with her. I worked on her. I worked on me. I worked on my mom. I worked on generational wounds. I worked on feminine work. I worked on womb work. I did Reiki, energy medicine. Everything that I could think of, I applied to her and my relationship. And we never felt peace. There was chaos in the home, and I was kind of embarrassed because I'm a healer and I should have like everything all in order, but it wasn't the case. Her and I fought. There was discord, and it hurt my heart. My heart broke so many times, and I was thinking, why can't I heal this connection with my daughter? And so this is what we worked on at the prayer night. And in the prayer night, I think I was there for 2 hours. I left that night going, Okay, that was good. I repented and I renounced a bunch of things. I repented and renounced spirit of rebellion and the occult and divination, things that I was all into with the New Age. And in the back of my mind, I was like, I'm still going to use my pendulum and I'm still going to use my cards. They won't know. But what happened when I got home is I got home from that night of 2 hours of prayer and blessings, and there was a big shift in my relationship with my daughter. I felt it right away. And we had a complete healing of our relationship. And so the next day, my brain was going, what the heck happened last night? I was trying to process it, and I couldn't find my pendulum. The things that I used, my New Age objects, looked so different for me. Like they were like, it was almost like I was protected from them. And so God was already working through me. And my daughter didn't know what happened, but all she knew was that there was, that like Mama was here. And we have peace in our family. There's joy, there's love, there's laughter, there's everything that I wanted. And it was all because of God. God worked that way. And so my mind was thinking, how did that happen? Like I spent 18 years with all these modalities working hard, and I worked hard. I worked it every single day. I'm super disciplined. I worked at affirmations. And I did talk to God. God heard me, so I did pray. And I thought, this happened in 2 hours. I thought, whoa. God then led me to understand what this was, kind of what happened, that this also happened to many others. And when I went online, he kind of led me through a little rabbit hole, and I started exploring other people's testimonies, that they were leaving the New Age and they were going to Jesus. They were coming to Jesus. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one. Like, this isn't just me. This is, like, happening to many. And so after that, I started burning all of my cards, all of my books. I threw everything away, and my home was peaceful. I felt a peace in my body that I wasn't able to create in the New Age. I couldn't find the joy. The joy was always fleeting in the New Age. And here I had joy that was like pure, and it was something I could access all the time. So I became a Jesus freak, and I walked around the house saying, oh my gosh, I'm a Jesus freak. And I was so against that because we didn't talk about that in the New Age. I was like so proud of it because it healed my daughter. I became a better person. And so the months after that followed, I did go through like a deconstruction. I had to change the way I was thinking because I was actually brainwashed by the New Age. I was programmed to think a certain way, to operate a certain way, and I went through grief. I was depressed. I didn't know who I was, but God had me the whole time. I had some amazing support. I had the prayer team, Dustin, Diana, Brad, Lyle, people that I love, that I asked a lot of questions, that I just leaned on, my aunties, my cousins, who knew what I was going through, and lots of prayer. And it has been such a journey, and so now I'm actually helping others move from that New Age walk to come to God. To that, and I did a lot of digging, and the New Age is rooted, has roots, has satanic roots. And so that's what is so deceptive of it. And there's so much I could share about that, but I feel that feels complete. And so I want to give this to Lyle, and thank you for letting me speak and be here.
Very good. You did it. I think I'm on. That's always so good to hear. I don't think we have internet, right? Oh, dang, I wanted to say some good words. bad good words, good bad words. So what's really cool is you heard the testimony, but you don't really understand what was going on. The significance of it is that you are all going through your own journey. Every single one of us here has their own story, their own difficulties, their own path that they're following. But God is pulling you into Him. He has a plan and a future and a hope for you, and He is drawing you. You can't work it up. You're not smart enough. I'm not smart enough. Anybody here ever do something dumb or stupid? Oh, come on. Everyone with their hand up is telling the truth. Everyone else who's got their hand down is a liar. I speak the truth. So what's really cool is, yes, welcome to this home. Welcome to this group. Welcome to this family that is moving towards the Father, that is examining those dumb and stupid things you've done. And with the Father, looking at those things and divesting yourself of dumb and stupid and into wisdom and understanding and peace and joy that only He can bring. Okay, let's get into the Word. Can I have my first slide up? What you're going to see in the Bible is when you crack your Bible and you read it, you're going to see patterns over and over, patterns. God works in patterns. He starts something in the beginning of the book and He ends the end of the book with that same sentiment. You're going to see it over and over. Somebody nod their head. Okay. Can you... Wait a second. I got a piece of paper in here. My wife said not to lose it. Wisdom spoke this morning, said I should change my pants, okay, and put on something that weren't so wrinkled. Okay, Matthew 3 verse 2. Oh yeah, bad dad jokes will happen. I don't know why it happens, but somehow I'm graced with bad dad jokes. Matthew 3 verse 2, get out your Bible. If you love Jesus, you love His Word. Get out your Bible, don't be embarrassed, pull it out. Matthew 3 verse 2. This is John the Baptist. This is part of an embedded statement that you're going to see a little bit later on. We're going to get to it. Is that repentance, Shelley mentioned that. Repentance is embedded through the whole Bible. I had so many verses pulled out that I couldn't put it all together because, to speak simply, I simply couldn't do it. There's so many verses to connect them all and go through the history and what they meant at the time. Couldn't be done. So what I'm going to try and do, and you guys, everyone go, what? Good, okay. So you can do that when I'm speaking. You go, what is he talking about? That's awesome. Embedded in the Bible is this word, repent. Repent comes from two roots. One is the Hebrew, which you're going to see first. This comes from a word called shub, S-H-U-B. It has over 200 interpretations. Turn around, turn back, turn towards, turn. It's an actual physical this. Turning away from your actions. The Greek is the word metanoia. I think I really butchered that one. But yeah, cool. Say it again.
Metanoia.
Yes, metanoia. But it's like a like the four vowels stuck together, which I can't say. So that means change your mind. When you change your mind directs your actions. So now we have two things coming together, an action and a change that's happening. So when John says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, you have no idea how deep that is. When he says, repent, change your mind, change your focus, change your dumb and stupid. Because what you've been doing is trying to get to God on your own efforts. Shelley was up here saying, by her own efforts, she was working every day, doing affirmations, doing this, doing that, doing the work, but not getting there. We've all been, thank you, Shelley, on that hamster wheel. We've all tried to get to God. If I just read my Bible enough, if I just spend a lot of time on my knees, if I just. And you don't get anywhere if it's not based in Jesus. The gospel message is this. Jesus came. Jesus, the Word of God. Jesus, the exudation of the Father. Jesus came from the Father. And the thing that came from the Father was the Word. The Word is the communication of the idea. The idea says, I love you. The idea says, I have created you. The idea says, I have things for you that we would walk together. And Jesus expressed all those things in words. He was the Father with the skin on. It's really hard to identify with a concept. I'm going to walk with this concept. It's easy to walk with Jesus because you can see Jesus, feel Jesus. When you're there, if you've been walking with Jesus for a while, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you want to know. So he starts with repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. We go a little bit later. Hey, Joe, come on, grab a seat someplace. He's saying repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He's saying change your mind. You've been striving so hard. You've been doing sacrifices. You've been killing this and that and offering the blood, and all it did was remind you of your sin, but it didn't take care of it. It atoned for it. It took care of it for a year. But next year, you were reminded of your sin again, that you're still a filthy sinner. And that's all it was religion, was trying to attain to God. Yet Jesus says, Jesus, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom says, I have made you. I have made you. And because I've made you, when Satan talked to you, I'm getting way ahead of myself. But the kingdom of heaven is near. Let's go to the next slide. Let's see where we are. Okay. I'm going to go back. Somebody call me back to, I was going to go into Genesis, but not yet. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I think we're in, have you got a reference there?
4:17.
Mark?
Matthew.
Matthew 4:17. So I'll call you, Gord, I'll call you after, and you just, for those people who are following. Matthew 4:17, Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. If something is said in Scripture twice, three times, four times, you better take notice. He's trying to get it through your thick skulls. My thick skull. You guys are all perfect, and you get everything on the first shot, and you understand it. You're all walking with God. And if he says something to me three or four times, it's like, stand up, take notice. John said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The exact same words came from Jesus. And he said, repent. From that time on, this is after Jesus has come out of the desert, moving in the power of God. From that time on, he began to preach, repent. There's that tough word. Change your mind, change your direction. For the kingdom of God is near. You with me? Okay. Next verse, please. Do I need to say anything else? I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You all put your hand up, and the rest of you are liars. You said, I've done dumb and stupid things. You had done dumb and stupid things that hurt your relationship with others, that have hurt your relationship with yourself, within yourself. There's this cognitive dissonance, there's this thing in your heart, whether you were forced to or was foisted upon you. And you've done things that have hurt your relationship with Jesus, with God, with love. I have not come to call righteous, the righteous people. You see, you guys are walking the right way, but I've come to call sinners to repentance because you need to hear this message. You need to hear that one of the greatest gifts that the Father has ever given is the ability to change your mind, the ability to repent, the ability to change your direction, the ability to, like the butterfly, metanoia, I think is the root of metamorphosis, go from being a worm into something that flies. Can I have the next scripture, please? And the verse, for those of you who are following along. While he's doing that, I could do a bad dad joke. Luke 24:27. So you got to make sure next time we do slides, if I'm up here, that we just have a reference in there too. That would be awesome. Thanks, Gord. Everyone give Gord a... Like, this doesn't run without Gord. I have no idea what I was trying to do with this one. Is there one after this? Somebody's got their Bible, read Luke 24 and then go a little past that. Go Luke 25.
A foolish man is slow of heart.
To believe?
Foolish man is slow of heart.
Keep going.
To believe all that the prophets have spoken. What is not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory.
Okay. So what Jesus is saying, if you're still struggling to find out if Jesus is a liar or not, holy smokes, we got to go to Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the word that comes from the heart of the Father. Absolutely true, irrefutable, immovable, the foundation of what you stand on, of things that Jesus said. If you're questioning something that Jesus said, you need to go to him and talk to him about the thing you're questioning, because what he says is absolute foundational to who we are. Children of God. So last time I said that we were getting to, I think I'm ahead of myself already, is that Jesus had to explain to the disciples that this must happen, that you can understand the root of and the gift, the majesty, the amazing transformation that happens when you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus died for you, that you don't have to carry your sins, and the things that you've done, that were an offense against love, have been covered over by him, because what was required for the payment of those things was satisfied by his blood. Period. When you believe that, when you are ready to say, yes, Jesus, I believe that you died for me. Yes, Jesus, I believe that your blood covered all my sins. That belief, what happens is there's a place made in your heart to connect to the Father. That belief makes a landing pad for his word to land. When his word lands on you, his word works. Period. It starts to do stuff. It starts to force you to go on long walks and not sleep at night and ruminate on things and walk around like you're a mummy because what I don't know what's going on inside me, but this is craziness. And that's him working in you because something is happening. He's doing it at such a deep level that your brain doesn't get it, but your spirit does. Next scripture, please. I think we're in Genesis, the next one. Oh, nice. Look, it's got a reference. Genesis. This is how it all began. The beginning of the pattern. What we saw was some of the some of the very important stuff that's in the middle of the book. We read the beginning of the book, and we see from Genesis 3:1. Shelley, thank you for opening this up to me. The serpent was more crafty than any other of the wild animals. Did God really say? He always starts, when Satan talks to you, he always starts with a question, because a question begets an answer. Once you have entered into a dialogue, there is a connection. The connection causes the ability for the mind of Satan to connect with your mind and affect what you think. Has God said? Oh, she was completely affected. She's looking for an answer. She wants to say something. Next scripture. Truth. Next scripture. She wasn't there when God talked to Adam. God talked to Adam, not Eve.
It wasn't her fault.
Sorry.
Yes, he was responsible.
Yes.
Because he might have been standing right there. He might have been someplace else going, oh, look at this. You know, this thing over here. Not yet. She added to what he said. She didn't quite understand the fullness of what was going on. So she added something. She added her own thoughts. You must not touch it or you will die. She added something. Be careful that you don't add to what God has talked to you about or subtract. Say exactly what he said to you. Say exactly what the word says. Don't add or take anything away, because if you do, you open yourself up to corruption. The word is corrupted. Next verse. We'll get to that, because each of our English words actually are rooted in, and you can look at something different. That's a very good question. We'll talk about that later. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. Oh! Lie, lie, lie. Lie, 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 lie. There's your mnemonic device. Do you remember Paul Simon?
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone who is born after the year 2000, too bad. So, Genesis 3:4. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. First lie. So he sets her up for the next lie. Next verse. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. The first lie set up this one. This one is true. He mixes lies with truth. The best lies are based almost entirely on truth. Your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Next verse. This is going back fast because we've got so much to get through today. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, she took some and ate it. I don't know if she was feeling bad about doing what she did, but she was going to bring her husband in with it. And he, like a man, I'll do it. I'll eat. So he ate from the apple and their eyes were open. Next 3:7. The eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked. You ever had a dream when you're in school, in a desk, sitting there, and you're naked? That's like a universal dream. You're in the school of God, and you're naked. My son is in Mexico, so he's not going to hear this, but when he was little, he used to get out of the bathtub and run around and go, naked. You had to be there, but it was good. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So they tried to hide their nakedness. They had a revelation, they're naked. They tried to hide. They worked on it on their own without God. You see the first step? The first step without God. Next verse. So this is what happens. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden. This is the big word right here. The seed of all mankind hid. And that's been going on with all of us ever since. We hide, we do things without God. We are going to the Tower of Babylon. We're going to build a tower. We're going to be like God. We're going to, Satan says in Isaiah chapter 14, I am going to be like the Most High God. And so as he says, I am going to be like the Most High God, he's going to get every one of his followers, the ones that have believed in him, the ones who have made a connection in their heart to his lie, to open up a place where he can speak to them. And all of a sudden, those words do something to their heart, corrupt what they know, their nature, and you start to hide. You hide in your mind. You hide in your actions. You hide in your speech. You don't tell the truth. You start to do little lies, big lies. They hid from the Lord among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? When an omniscient being speaks and says, where are you? It's not because he doesn't know where you are. He wants you to know where you are. Where are you? Adam did something dumb and stupid. He didn't answer. I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. I was afraid. There was never any fear in the garden the way God had made things before. Never mentioned. So all of a sudden, this thing that never existed, this construction construct in his mind, this spiritual reality, all of a sudden was germinated, seminated. There was something created that was never there before. A kingdom of fear. Fear says, God will hate me because of what I've done. Fear says, I've got to hide because if God finds out what I've done, he's going to come down on me. Fear says, I should stay in this place of shame because that's what I am. I am. Something's wrong with me. I am ashamed. Now all of a sudden you've got all these things that have started that were never there before. You were never created to walk in this. You were never made to eat of that fruit. You were never made to be in a place where you are afraid. And so the outcome is, I hid. Next verse. Are you with me?
Yes.
God says, who told you that you were naked? That's not because he doesn't know. Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat? He's giving him a chance to come clean. He's giving him a chance to repent. Now, the thick-headed Adam, hiding, didn't get it. This is what God does to us. I give you a chance to repent. And we'll go, but what? There is a good reason. Here's where you go, what? Yeah. Oh, let's just rest in that moment for a second. Go to the next verse. No, I don't. I think 11 was the last one. You said chance to repent. I'm gonna need a picture is worth 1,000 words. Okay. Gord, come up, bring your lovely wife. I need you for a visual. They have no idea I was going to do this. So the embarrassed look on their faces and the awkwardness that they display, this is real, this is not fake. Okay, we're going to do a mime. Okay, Gord, hold her hand, that's okay. Gord, you're a king. You're representing the Lord. You're omniscient, but not, what's the word that escapes me? Not arrogant. You're royal, but you're not demeaning. You are just walking with the king in the garden. So walk slowly that way. And you guys, don't say anything. Shh, don't say anything. Now, Gordon, you go, just turn around. Okay, he's going, let's go that way. No, 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 this is where you go. And then your hands separate. Now, see, Gordon, he's doing such a good job of acting. He's going, but this is the way to go. Walk in it. And now what happens is that God, because he loves us so much, allows us to experience walking alone. Separation. The basis of sin is separate in nature. So the nature of God is one. That he is one with us. Go hold hands again. Kissy, kissy face. So... I love his laugh. Get a microphone. That they're one. And where they separate, that connection is lost. Shelley talked about a connection she knew was supposed to be between her daughter and her, and it was never there. And it was the seed of torment for 18 years. This torment of us. We were made to be together. Okay, you guys are made to be together, and oh man, okay, separate now, walk in different directions. This thing that was never meant to be has been created, this separate in nature, because somebody wanted to walk in a different way. Now, everyone's following me, everyone's got what's going on, different natures walking in different directions. Okay, warm hand. Okay. We practiced that. No, we didn't practice that. Next verse. Oh, there's a big word. Second line, end. Repent. The beginning of the Bible said God invited Adam to repent. Where are you? I'm opening up the dialogue. Where are you? Where is your spirit? Where is your heart? Are you hiding? He opens up the dialogue. He does it. You couldn't, there's no way in the separate in nature, sin, that you want to connect with the Father. Unless he does it in you. You can correct me later. We can have discussions on this. You're incapable. you're incapable of being holy without him. You're incapable of walking without him. You'll have to come back next week, because next week it's going to go in depth. The one thing I wanted to say here is this. Repentance. Gord, Danielle, come back up here. Gord, you take your place like this. Do this. Okay? And look at the audience. You got to connect with the audience, okay? Okay? Danielle, you come over here. Okay? And you're doing this. But make the forlorn face like you're really missing Gord. Like... Miss him. Like, no. Get the face going. Miss him. Sad face. Okay. You go hands out like this. You go like this. Hands out like this. Think for a bit. Scratch your head like you're thinking. And go light bulb moment. Run back. Okay, that's enough. Thank you. So we practice that too. So what you see is a visible representation, an illustration of what's going on with repentance. God in his holiness is holy. It's up to, And God is always inviting us back. We get to choose. That's the... No. The gift of free will that God has given us is unassailable. Nobody, even God, will assail the free will and force us to choose, but He waits for us to run back into His arms. There's more stuff that will come next week. You have to come back next week. Where He receives you. No matter what's been done, He receives you. The whole point of this was that word repentance, which is that 50-cent word that comes out of the Bible, is an extreme gift. God, in His mercy, said, "You who were departed from me, you can come back." In as often as you repent, repent, change my mind, change your direction, and run back into the arms of God, in as often as you do, He says, "Welcome home." That's repentance in a nutshell. When you know how good that is, that Jesus has, the Father has, and spoken through Jesus, come back home. Come back where you belong. Come back into the way I've made you to be, to walk with me in the cool of the evening. So we could talk, we could chat, we could just be together. And God says, "I like being with you. I really like who I've made you to be." And then at some point you're going to say, "It'll take a while, but God, I like who you made me. I really do." That's another story for another day. Okay, this was the preamble to next week. Repentance is a gift. One of the scriptures says, I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. I think it says, correcting those that are in opposition, perhaps that God would grant them repentance. It gives you an idea that repentance is a gift. It's a total gift and it never changes. Did you learn something today?
Yes.
Okay. So, you can take... we're going to set up for communion here. Really good. If you take a couple seconds, this will be a you and God thing. Say, "Father, is there anything you want me to repent of?" Do it on your own and just listen. You'll get a sense of... maybe you'll hear, maybe you'll see. Something will happen. "Father, is there something you want me to repent of?" Oh, right now. Just do it right now. I'm a doer. Let's do it. If you got something, if God has given you something, then do business with Him. Say, "Jesus, there's this thing you want me to deal with. I don't even know how to deal with it. I've been holding on to this for so long that it's become part of my nature. I think it's my normal, natural. This is who I am." And God says, "No, I've got more for you." With repentance, it's actually examining something with God, that thing that you see is so horrible. Romans 8:28 says, "He turns all things to the good for those who love God and are called according to His purposes." All things, even this granule that's been grating at you for so long, He's going to turn to something good. He's going to turn it to be the starting point of a new relationship with Him, the starting point of new clarity, of new openness with Him. You still with me? We are going to change directions and go into communion. In communion, we partake of the body and blood of Christ, and Gary's going to take over. He's going to facilitate that. But after this, we're going to have a couple. I think Gary and Carol will stand over here, and I think Michael and Ann are going to stand over here. You can come up. If you're a Christian, you come up for the communion. Parents, check your kids, that you can come up also and get a blessing. The blessing is one, they're going to anoint you, which is biblical, which I am getting into here. I talked to Peter. Can I just share a snippet of what you told me? Okay. Peter is sitting on the other side of the church. Yeah, there's Peter. So this morning he shared the joy of being a new creation, of the same like Shelley. He received some prayer. I don't know if it was a couple weeks ago or last week, 2 weeks ago, and how everything has changed. I think it was anger you said. The anger isn't there. The flaring up isn't there. Something has changed. The deep, deep work that God does in your heart happened. And I'll get you, you know, I'll talk to Peter and it may be a testimony for another time, but not right now. But I just want to say it's alive and active and happening right now. It's a constant place of turning to God moment by moment, of walking with Him. And it's just an invitation to chat with Him, to walk with Him, to talk with Him. Sometimes you're pissed. Oh, can I say that? Sometimes you're pissed off because of something that's going on in life. And, okay, guys, in the camera, I can see the camera there. Sometimes you have to be really real with Him. You vent. You don't kick the cat. Kick the chair. You vent. And He goes, yeah, that's real. Sometimes you're on your knees. I've seen this so many times. People curl up in a ball and they cry. And the noises that come out of their mouths is animalistic. As something is coming out. That's all the mess is part of walking with Him. He loves getting in on the mess because He turns your mess into a message. So you, and then sometimes over here, it's all tulips and roses and flowers and rainbows in the right way. And sometimes over here it is walking things out. I wanted to encourage you, repentance is a gift. It is one of the greatest gifts. You see it from Genesis all the way to Revelations. In Revelations, you will count it some 20 different times that He says, repent, repent. And then we'll get into, not this week, next week, repent to overcome. Because He has a gift for the overcomers. The overcomers will receive a crown of life. They'll receive a new name. They'll receive something about gold and yada, yada, yada. I don't know it right now, but there's for each church that He talks to, there is a reward for overcoming. I think that's all I've got to say. Bless you guys.